views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
This is the Code Breakers. This is Paradox. Today is October 25th, 2016. And we will be discussing today, should people classified as black vote? Also discussing singularity in global future 2045 and the future of racism, white supremacy's refinement. And also, we'll be discussing this TV program on the AMC channel, I believe, called The Walking Dead. And we're going to relate it to black people and racism, white supremacy. We can be reached at code_breakers1865 on Instagram. codebreakers1999@gmail.com. You can reach us that way via email. And you can also hit us up on Twitter at CodeBreakers191. Obviously, we're on the Black Talk Radio Network. You can also find us on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. And also, I believe, Stitcher as well. I also have DC on the line as well, I believe, and T. Are you fellas here?
Greetings, 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 greetings. Yes, we are.
And so, you said T's on the line as well?
Yeah, can you hear me?
All right, good. Yeah. D, are you going to run the, you ready to do the clips up top, or did you want to get into a little bit of discussion first?
Well, we still getting the clips queued up, so we can get into okay. the discussion first about some of our actual general topics.
All right, so T, did you want to kind of kick us off a little bit as far as do you want to take voting first and just start talking about that, and we can just kind of go from there?
Yeah, I think that's a good direction. Kind of leads into other things we have in store.
Okay.
So if you have the clip.
Yeah, they're still working on that. I know one of the bullet points you had pointed out was giving a historical overview. Did you want to talk about the overview of voting in general for blacks, as far as voting rights, etc.? Did you want to talk about like the President Obama and some of his comments he's made online or what?
We'll just talk about like poll taxes and direct or indirect methods of voter disenfranchisement, regardless how you feel about whether or not people classified as black should vote. I think if you take a lot of things that went on historically as far as marginalizing those classified as black from voting, they were refined into this, what we have today in terms of, for instance, you had poll taxes then, or you had literacy tests, and we see that there's a lot of push back about illegals and people coming in and getting their name on the voter rolls and registrations. and the push to, in some states, they still do not allow felons to vote, you know, once they've been convicted. So just direct and indirect means of keeping people classified as black away from the polls. So that's kind of what I would, wanted to touch on.
Okay. Yeah, one thing I heard about was well, before I say that, you can also call in at 1-641-715-3660. You hit 549-032 pound star 6-1 if you want to have a if you want to chime in on this discussion. You know, one thing, it's funny you mentioned, you brought that up, because I think I was looking at some stuff about I think the Republican Party has some things in place that they were working on to have people actually go out to the polls, especially in minority communities, supposedly. I don't know how true any of this stuff is, but I think I was watching Rachel Maddow or something, and she had something on about some years ago up in New Jersey. I think for the governor's race, they had sent some group that they came up with, some name or whatever, some group, and they went out to the different polls in black communities to harass people, basically. And I think the governor won by like 1,800 votes, the Republican governor. So they had changed some laws or restrictions or something that they put in place to deal with some of that. But I just heard that yesterday, I think, actually. I didn't realize there were states where felons can actually vote at all. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there are some states where felons can vote. So if you want, we can kind of go ahead and get it kickstarted with the famous Obama clip where he's telling us good Negroes that we need to vote. Can I be heard?
Yeah, you can be heard. I don't know if I like that clip.
Yeah, I've heard that clip before. Yeah. We're going to get it jump started, kind of get it, you know, jump in here so we can kind of jump into this discussion about whether so-called black should vote, or if that's the actual solution to the problem of racism, white supremacy. Mr. Reed, whenever you're ready, we can go ahead and cue it on up, sir.
I'm a bit confused. Greetings, everyone. The email I got has the clips in order, and you just throw me off because the first one says it's about the purge.
Yeah, we're kind of going out of order a little bit since we're talking about voting.
Okay.
We can kind of go ahead and get started there. I'll keep you abreast. That was like my original email, so that's why I wanted to kind of rearrange it. But that's fine. I'll let you know how the order will be. I'll put it by the number sequence, like play number three or play number two.
In fact,
two,
if you want to give Michelle and me a good send-off, and that was a beautiful video, but don't just watch us walk off into the sunset now. Get people registered to vote. If you care about our legacy, realize everything we stand for is at stake. All the progress we've made is at stake in this election. My name may not be on the ballot, but our progress is on the ballot. Tolerance is on the ballot. Democracy is on the ballot. Justice is on the ballot. Good schools are on the ballot. Ending mass incarceration, that's on the ballot right now. And there is one candidate who will advance those things. And there is another candidate whose defining principle, the central theme of his candidacy, is opposition to all that we've done. There's no such thing as a vote that doesn't matter. It all matters. And after we have achieved historic turnout in 2008 and 2012, especially in the African American community, I will consider it a personal insult, an insult to my legacy, if this community lets down its guard and fails to activate itself in this election. You want to give me a good send-off? Go vote. And I'm going to be working as hard as I can these next 7 weeks to make sure folks do.
Is that the end of the clip?
Hope is on the ballot. And fear is on the ballot, too. Hope is on the ballot, and fear is on the ballot, too.
There you go. Hope is on the ballot, so is fear.
I'm going to let y'all run with that. I got too much to say, so I'm going to be quiet. Let y'all talk.
Well, T, you know, from the way of it, my first president, African American president, I've been told, Barry.
What kind of person is he again? What was he?
Yeah, African American. That's what I've been told.
Not Kenyan.
He's African American, as far as I've been told. He's the first African American president of these United States of America.
Not and biracial.
No, not biracial, not half caste, not colored. He is a person that has been classified and forced into the classification of African American / black folk. And ain't
person
nothing
of color.
You can do. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Ain't nothing he's a person you can of do color. About
it. You can be mad all you want, and that's for everybody else out there. The government said that he is the president, the first black president. He's the first black president. They are in charge.
That's the consensus, huh? That's the consensus, huh?
Well, they do the classifying. They made up the rules, and this is what it's going to be. Now, until somebody else gets in charge and rearranges the rules, then that's what it's going to be from this particular point forward. Anyway, just to the meat of what Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, President Obama, was speaking about, his legacy, speaking about how he wanted to transition his legacy to Hillary Rodham Clinton. If I'm not mistaken, that's the one that he is speaking about, that's going to basically take up his mantle of his presidency and continue forward on some of his policies. Now, I am very, very, very confused, because as far as I know, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Secretary Clinton, has very distinguished views about different things when it comes down to President Obama. A lot of them that are not in congruence. So a lot of the things that she believe in are not some of the things that he believe in, even though they are so-called part of the same legacy. So that's confusing all within itself. I don't even think the way that they call it Obamacare, but the health, I forget what it's called. What is the real name for the Obama, what they call Obamacare?
Affordable
Care Act.
Yeah. That right there will be revised as soon as she steps in. Yeah, the thank you guys. Affordable Health Care Act. Yeah, which they call Obamacare. Name calling, by the way. That will be revised tremendously, and she spoke a little bit about it, especially with the price hikes. You know, today all of a sudden these prices are hiking up, premiums are going up extremely high, so that would give her all the leverage in the world to go in and to rewrite his legacy. And I don't think that this is going to be good for the people that he's asking to vote, especially those classified as black and that are the most vulnerable within this system. Mr. President Obama, as soon as you leave office, I don't trust that we will be in good hands, and I don't trust the person that you're telling us to vote for. That is my codified response in that nature. What say you, T?
Well, at first I have to get asked the question, what is President Obama's legacy? What does that consist of? See, because a lot of times politicians have a habit of talking in very vague and unspecific terms. So it all like it normally should be going is that, you know, you want to ask the question first. If we were to base his legacy on that's one thing he mentioned, he said, you know, justice is on the ballot. Mass incarceration is on the ballot. So, you know, just taking those two of those, and there were more that he mentioned, like hope and fear, I'm assuming that he's making the connection of justice and mass incarceration to his legacy somehow. Or at least he's seemingly tying those two together in the speech and leading people to believe that that's his legacy. But when you look at the rise, and a lot of it can be attributed to, you know, mainstream media propagating and covering a lot more of these events for whatever reason. I mean, we know what's been going on since the inception of the, this country, this nation, whatever you want to call it. But my point is that a lot of it's been brought to light as far as the police abuse, police brutality, the police misconduct, and nothing has been done about it in terms of people actually serving out sentences, you know, being sentenced to jail time or being prosecuted. So the justice, I mean, that to me, him bringing that up, saying that's on the ballot, that to me is asinine. I mean, where is the justice? And how is that on the ballot? How is Hillary going to bring justice? Is she going to bring law and order? Is that that's the codified response, I think, for that. I think it's going to be used going forward. You're probably going to hear a lot more of that. Those words, it's like they create terms like locker room talk. So, you know, they create these terms and then people buy into them. Just like the Yes We Can slogan. And if you also look at what else did he have on the, he said injustice and mass incarceration. And it's my understanding that he's actually pardoned, is that right? He's pardoned a lot of nonviolent criminals, is that correct? I don't know if anyone is.
No, he has, I don't know exactly how many or what the number is, but he has pardoned some non-violent, prisoners of mass incarceration policies that Clinton enacted during the presidency. So, yeah, he did release not enough, but some victims of racism and some other people that are classified as white. Recently.
Okay.
Well, throughout his presidency, over the last 2 years, he's done that.
Gotcha. So I just wanted to go out there and see, as you were giving that information, and see what type of offenses and what the type of people that were being pardoned by President Obama. And I'm just kind of looking through it. This is on a DOJ website, justice.gov. It looks like a lot of these individuals making counterfeit obligations, aiding and abetting bank fraud, possession of an unregistered distilling apparatus, counterfeiting Federal Reserve notes, distributing methamphetamine, manufacture of marijuana. I'm not going to go through all these, obviously, but distribution and possession of intent to distribute marijuana. So I do see quite a few here having to do with drug crimes. But I think if it was a comparison done to see, you know, his pardons versus previous presidents, I think you get a better idea of justice and mass incarceration. But this is the first time I've ever heard of anyone, let alone any presidents, use that meme and say, well, voting for this person protects my legacy. And we know how vicious the debates were when Hillary and President Obama went at it. In fact, Hillary, her camp was her team was a camp to start the whole birth certificate lie, even though she tried to pawn it off on Trump later. But, you know, hope and fear, I mean, that's something to look forward to on a ballot. I mean, what does that mean, hope and fear? I mean, that's like religious to me, hope and fear. Two things that are necessary to support the system. So it's just interesting to hear that, and I think it's disgraceful to try to use that as a prop to persuade or influence people to vote based on vagary. And I'll leave it at that. Paradox, you want to chime in?
Damn, so much. I don't know where to go. I mean, this guy says, is talking about his legacy or our progress, democracy, justice, good schools, ending mass incarceration, he said a lot of things, a lot of words. I have no idea what he's talking about. It's very confusing to me just because I don't know, you know, it just seems like things that go on this planet is so much bigger, you know, than him as an individual or even at office. Even though I know it's the helm, you know, I know that's where the captain, I'm assuming that's where the captain that they showed me anyway, that's where he resides. You know, we're pretty clear that black people in this country, definitely a large percentage, if not all, are not receiving justice, based off how I understand it. I think that even when you, you know, I was talking to Dee earlier, and it just seems like a lot of things get, if you get a little bit more space, a little bit more comfort, as we say, you know, things seem better off because you've been allowed to have more room to operate. I kind of liken it to game reserves. When you move the animals over to the game reserves, give them enough space, then, you know, hey, it's about the same. They don't realize that they're not truly free, in a sense. And I think that they've given us a lot more space to function and to operate, and enough of us, we're talking about years of mistreatment. And, you know, I think when you've been mistreated as long as we have, and never, many of us, never really having time, unfortunately, to really heal, I'm thinking, could be wrong about that, but kind of never really having time to heal, just kind of having to adapt and adjust as things change, as whites change and change their society for whatever purposes that they need it for, to benefit them ultimately. And so for an African person, with a black wife, you know, to get on, to come on television or do videos or whatever and act like all the atrocities that have happened recently on this planet, all through this country, all through Europe to African people, obviously all through Africa, etc. And I really can't pinpoint or nail down a specific thing he's done that I can think of that absolutely 100% benefits African people within this landmass and worldwide that I can think of. I know he's given a lot of speeches, but I need to feel it. And when I feel it, I know white folks are going to feel it. They're going to respond a certain way. And so knowing that he's trapped, you know, I know we make a lot of excuses for these people, but Knowing that they're now, you know, I can make an excuse and say you're trapped in a particular environment and you can't do this, you can't do that. If that is the case, when you come out and speak, don't sell me nonsense. Right? So if you've been held hostage within now I'm going to speak within the system, right? The way they show it to me, you have the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, you have the House, the Senate, you have the justices, you have the White House. They all work together or they don't work together. They jam each other up, filibustering and all types of things, and people are fighting at all levels, from local, state, even international levels, to get resources, to get things to benefit them, etc. And so for him to come out and pretend, based off the numbers that I got, as far as black wealth, the amount of wealth that we lost coming out of 08, from housing and from the economy collapsing and us not recovering, as a group of people, any type of unity that he's done, I haven't seen any of that. Whatever democracy is supposed to mean, I'm not sure if we've gotten any democracy. I'm not going to get too specific with people. I'm not going to drop any names yet because I don't want to get too upset. Just thinking about some things that have happened to people, specifically in this country, but even worldwide. I mean, do I really want to go and how they hit Libya? How the French and the Americans and the Germans and the English went into Libya? Do I need to go down that road? I mean, do I need to go to Egypt? I mean, where do you want me to go with this? Or do I need to go into Baltimore? I mean, it's strange to hear this person, who's supposed to be a victim, who's supposed to have knowledge and understanding. I know he's been washed into whiteness. I know most of us see things through our blue eyes, and I understand it. But at the end of the day, when this person gets on television and starts to create these ideas and perception about a reality that does not exist, I don't understand it. The word legacy, you know, who cares about your legacy? Why is someone's legacy important in a system built off of mistreatment, in a system built off of color? And this person did not come into this position and his first policy, well, we're going to end racism. I don't need to do anything else. We're going to end racism. Everything else will take care of itself. But I didn't hear that. I mean, maybe he said that. Maybe he introduced policy, an anti-racist or a counter-racist policy. If anyone listening can call in and let me know, but if anyone can show me a bill that him or someone in the CBC or anyone else signed some legislation to put an end to racism, to weed it out, I didn't see that. Should we go to the Justice Department and look at Loretta Lynch and look at what they are from a perception point of view trying to do by writing documents and putting paperwork together and telling me how bad I already know things are? I already know things are bad. How can you tell me about progress when the black people in this country, specifically in this country, hasn't moved? We're going backwards the last time I checked. And when I say that, I mean based off the system and based off how we participate. Now, from my own view, we should dismantle this country. So just so people are clear on where I'm at the end of the day. But as far as participating, having to feed your family, having to take care of people, having, you know, people who want to educate themselves regardless of it being a European-based education, people who are trying to do those things and maybe not trying to be, I would say more conscious or more codified. I understand, you know, do what you got to do. The thing is that within that process, though, you can still have honesty. Within that process, we can still try to practice justice, understanding the conditions that we're in. You know, Mr. Fuller makes a point about being behind enemy lines, and I think the reason why, when he says it to me, how I interpret it, is that being on guard, being aware, you know, paying attention, listening to what people are trying to tell you. And for this person to get up on television and to mention the word justice is insanity. Right? I mean, should we go and look at the prison system? For, you know, the issue I have with things, and again, I could be confused. I don't know, because someone says something, it's supposed to change something. Within this environment, it seems that money, weapons, people actually putting these, what they call in bills through a process to make them law, is the things that can force some change. You know, you may have to send the National Guard into places to force something to happen. You may have to do some very aggressive things to get, I mean, it's just strange. I don't even know where to start. I have so much in my mind just thinking about when you look at all of the white governors, all the white district attorneys around this country. I was reading about the Angolia thing, and he should have shut the Angolia prison down. I mean, he probably should shut them all down. But some things that you would think that the effort that they have put into investigating, say drug dealers in Colombia or something, the effort they've put into other things, I have seen this environment go and make changes and go and dig into things and actually force something to happen, and that's just not the case when it comes to black people, period, point blank. It's nothing else to talk about. So for him, I mean, I don't know if you use the word hypocrisy. I don't know if he's a robot, if he's been programmed or something. I don't really know what he's drinking. I know he has a black wife. I know that she cannot support this, and she might, that's her husband or whatever, but her going to where she grew up at, and for her to sit there and let this man talk about justice, someone has to explain to me exactly what they're talking about. The last time I checked, black people in the last 2 to 3 years have gotten a heavy dose of what lynchings are like, right? All over the planet, black people have seen videos that has impacted them deeply, created post-traumatic issues, deep depression. Where was the justice at? And where was you at when that happened? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I'm going to stop ranting. I'm not really saying anything at this point, I guess, that everybody don't already know who listens to the program. But I just thought that it was just a little strange. I think we do have two callers in queue. We can, if you want to go ahead and drop in call is 702. If you have a comment, we'll give you a couple of minutes to speak. Call us 702.
Sorry, I was muted. I'm sorry. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Jay from Ohio. I just thought it was, I'm just glad that you actually said something about President Obama, and I try to definitely not try to speak ill of any other black person or so-called black person in the United States, because I definitely don't want to be a part of that bandwagon and almost make it seem as if I'm trying to do this for like extra butter biscuits, you know, as Mr. Scotty Reed would say. But I do feel definitely the same way that, you know, it seems like there's just been a lot of talk, and even, you know, just how they were talking about the wealth gap, and it seems like, okay, well, we keep having all these different studies, and it seems like we are just here to be studied. And if the studies turn out to produce, or if you see such negative results, nothing is being done about it. There's no policy changes that are really going to be affected. And I definitely agree with you that if Hillary does get in the office, she's not going to continue some legacy that the president now has, quote unquote, made. And the only thing that I've actually ever heard that the president has done for black people was something to do with black farmers. I think I actually read about an executive order that he signed for black farmers, but I'm like, I don't even know the percentage of black farmers compared to the whole percentage of black people in the United States. I'm sure that it's definitely less than 1%, since, like you said, you know, there have been so many different times where we've lost wealth. It's not even really been lost. It's just been redistributed by the quote-unquote dominant society. So, and the last comment that I wanted to make, I'm actually have been getting somewhat backlash from my family because I decided that I'm not going to keep voting for Democrat if it's really not doing anything for us. And at the end of the day, and I told a family member that I was going to vote for Jill Stein because I'm tired. I'm like, if they are going to ruin the country, why am I going to aid in the destruction of it? And like you said, you know, it's not like either side has done an amazing job for us, and people fail to realize that there are racist Democrats just like there are racist Republicans, and just like I think it was Stokely, I think I'm saying his name right, but he had said in a quote, you know, this country is racist from left to right, from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can just get away from, oh, well, this person isn't as racist, and, you know, just like the C. Renegade said, you know, some white people have refined their racism. They don't just outwardly call you, you know, a racial epithet. They'll just, you know, do it within their policy or do it within mm-hmm. the ways that will affect you. So, and going back to what my family member said, you know, she was like, well, you know what, well, I guess you're just going to waste your vote. And I feel like, you know, a vote for Hillary is a waste. I don't care how many times that she has pulled out all her little black tricks out of her bag or out of her hat or what have you. I'm like, I'm just not on board. The main thing that I feel that really rubbed me the wrong way about her was when she went on the Breakfast Club, when I still used to listen to them, and mm-hmm. Charlamagne the God had said something about, you know, hot sauce in her bag, swag, something like that, and she mm-hmm. was like, somebody had mentioned something about her pandering, and she was like, oh, well, is it working? And it just really, I feel like in that instant, she kind of gave herself away as far right. as, well, you know what, this is what I really feel. This is how I'm really pandering towards y'all. There's no legacy that I truly feel that I can think of that President Obama has left for us or has done for us. And, I mean, we got him. We helped get him in office. I remember I voted for him twice just under that hope, but I'm definitely moving away from identity politics, and I definitely appreciate mm-hmm. you all for taking my call, and I'll mute myself.
Appreciate it. DC, did you want to get the other caller in, or did you want to move a little bit forward?
No. Let's get the other caller and see what they would like to how they would like to share. Caller from 754, you on the Code Breakers?
How you guys doing tonight?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm just like Scotty. I'm just trying to survive behind these enemy lines.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, greetings. Tune in to the show. I'm loving it. Loving the conversation. It's like the last caller said. And like, I forget, you know, your guys' name, which one is which. One of you was saying that, you know, just speaking about Obama, kind of going on a rant, but I loved it because that's what it is. He's not, the state of Black America is no different than it was 8 years ago. In my eyes, it's worse. You know, we're watching modern day lynchings on TV. You know what I mean? Hearing them on the radio. You know, and they have, you know, news stations. They'll play the audio clips of it sometimes. And just going through that post-traumatic stress, not even post, it's traumatic stress right now. And just thinking about him saying that is just a smack in the face for us that's paying attention to what he's doing, that seeing, you know, the policies that he is voicing and a part of, versus what he should be doing. You know, I heard him say that, you know, we're the people on this planet, but especially, especially on this planet, but here in the United States, we've been done wrong so bad. We've done just the worst you could do with people, to the brink of genocide. And for him to be classified, I guess, as the first African-American president of these United States. He has done nothing for us. He's made, and it, like I said, in my eyes, he's made it worse. And to say vote for Hillary Clinton when it's the same woman that, you know, I don't want to say uses a racial slur, but just had a context of racism, you know, just speak running against Obama and just some of the things that she did in losing. And then to come around 8 years later and say vote for her, and I don't know, man. Neither one, I'm not voting this year. I probably won't vote ever again. You know, I help elect this guy. And just to see what he's done to my people, you know, paying attention to it. You try and talk to, like, I try and talk to my people around me, and a lot of them are caught up in emotion and feeling. And but a few of them are, you know, a few of them are paying attention, and they see it for what it is. All white people do, I hate to put them in the group, but all white people do, studying history, they play like a three-card model. They show you, you know, what you need, what you want, and then once you go for it, they switch it to something else. With the parties, with just everything. So I just really hope we wake up. I appreciate you, this show. I appreciate the whole format, the platform. And you know, I tell people about it to tune in, and because this is what we need. We need to wake up. We need education. We need to learn. We need to organize. We need to come together and start acting in a manner that, you know, will progress us as a nation. Get us out of this whole thing. Break down racism, white supremacy. So I'll leave with that. I thank you guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Q&A queue is cleared.
And I just want to make sure that I'm clear, is that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are monsters. And I'm going to leave that there. They're monsters, and they're not the monsters that's going to help me out either. And I will say that, and one big concern I have, just on the side note, is that the way that they were talking about the president some years ago, I don't really think they're gonna really forget that we supported him and not them. I think that they were probably a little surprised by it based off what I saw on television. I really don't know the truth, but if that is the case, I suspect that she's going to probably punish the people that she can that's black. I don't see her doing any. I would be surprised if any policies come out to assist, because the goal. Because see, I think the problem I'm having, and our people need to be paying attention to, is that what is the goal here? Is the goal to allow blacks in this system to flourish? Is that the goal? So based off the evidence, I'm not seeing that. So it doesn't even matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what faces or colors you put in front of me on television and tell me that I should be happy to see someone who looks like me, whatever that's supposed to mean. At the end of the day, it's about the tax, right? I need you to show, I'm a show me person, right? I don't really care who you are within this system outside of what's going to benefit us, right? So if you can put things in place, structure things in place by law that we can hold you to the fire on, that you can put on paper, I think that we'll be all obviously a lot better off and get kind of away from the emotions and the hype, etc. So I'm going to leave that alone. We can kind of, you want to go ahead and move forward, or did you want to put another comment in on top?
No. T, did you have anything that you wanted to add on to some of the callers' comments or anything that you heard?
Well, I appreciate the callers, definitely. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and your opinions and your feedback. Definitely was well put. I do want to say, though, I mean, from another perspective, it's almost strategic in the way that they present this thing of participation, right? Because participation is key in any system. I mean, if, let's say hypothetically, everyone woke up tomorrow and said, you know what, I'm not believing none of this, you know, like, I want to make up my own mind and decide for myself what I want to do and not listen to what the media is telling me I should do. The system would end tomorrow. So it's almost like they set up a dichotomy, whereas, you know, they'll put these two candidates out front who are supposedly diametrically opposed, right? Hillary, Trump. But in public, right, they put on the appearance and give the impression that they are bitter enemies, right? Debates, you know, three debates, you see them going back and forth, name calling, and just all types of stuff going on. But let's see, the third debate was, what was it, this week? Or last week?
Oh, last week. Yeah.
Last week. And then the following day, they had a roast.
Mm-hmm.
With all their billionaire friends. Yeah, literally, Trump is sitting at the same table as Hillary Clinton, and between them is a Catholic priest. Looking at that is unbelievable. Unbelievable. People sit up there and think that these people are bitter enemies.
George W. Bush called him his base.
and people sit up there, and I don't know how many people watched the roast versus
I watched the debates.
But even if people have saw the roast, right? How can you come away with from that and say that these people are bitter enemies and opposed to one another? I mean, it's unfathomable to me. I mean,
and does anyone know, did anyone do anything about when
he said ending mass incarceration? What does that mean? Like, how do you like? What is that? Did that process to anybody? To make that kind of statement?
Right. Where do these people go? You just open up all the prison cells.
Mass incarceration.
Yeah.
Everything is happy-go-lucky.
Is that a sound bite?
The first thing he needs to do is to get rid of the 13th Amendment. They need to just abolish that whole thing altogether and say that needs to be rewritten. That's the question that needs to be asked. What about the 13th Amendment? Because until that happens... Then everything that they do at these prison plantations is legal. Everything.
Talking about how, because you know each state has power, and so even trying to get clarity on, you know, how does each state dictate their own future as well? So you know, I know a lot of focus. If we're playing the game, a lot of focus is looking at the presidency. But Congress, them damn senators, man, and them House Assembly members, you know, and a lot of those local people probably play a larger role in much of the stuff that we're even talking about. Even when you're trying to deploy democracy and justice, or even if you're discussing progress at the federal level, I'm not totally clear. But you know, how much stuff gets pushed at the federal level versus the state level is my whole point. You know, if you live in Mississippi or if you live in Indiana, like what are the differences as far as how things are gonna affect your life? So for example, if you live in say a town, like I said, in Mississippi, and you never participated at the national level, and your main focus was at the city and county level, and even the state level if necessary, is that more effective? So if you're a black person, would you organize locally and not be as concerned about national organizations and be more concerned about like a lot of the NAACP chapters? Would you build a coalition around the district level and then work your way from there as far as what's going to benefit you as an individual person? Because at the federal level, we're talking about broad brushes, broad strokes, large large systems, but healthcare, for example, not to get too in the weeds on it, but healthcare, for example, you got governors saying we're not taking no funding. We straight. We're gonna let people keep dying, and we're gonna let HMOs and other big pharma companies lie and kill people. You know what I'm saying? Like it just seems a little bit more complex anyway. Not to harp on the president too much. He is a victim, but at the same time, it is what it is. But do you want to go run the clip, DC? Or did you want to chime a little bit more on this?
Well, no. We good. I wanted to ask you guys and see if you would like to go ahead and go with the TWD clip. I found the one where the transfer of power is happening, where he breaks Rick down, and then we can probably talk about that for the rest of the program because we're running up into the first hour.
Did you want to continue on the voting for the next, I guess, 10 or minutes or so, and then once we go to the break, he can launch the Walking Dead clip right there?
That so works.
Have that full hour, I guess.
Yeah, you want to touch on, yeah, just the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on, just to kind of close it out, I mean, what about on the local level? I mean, is it worth voting? I mean, with all the, there's a documentary called Hacking Democracy, and they basically go into how easy it is to fraudulently tally votes. I mean, these your votes are stored on a memory card, essentially, in the back of the computer. And if anyone can get back there, they can tamper with that stuff. I mean, you got to consider, right? You got ATMs across the world made by companies that don't lose a dime, but yet still you have all types of issues with voting machines not correctly tallying.
Yeah, I think at the local level, unfortunately, most black people that I know work all the time. But if you actually in a pure hypothetical sense, if everyone got away from, say, just to be kind of silly, you know, got away from television, didn't do all the things they do now to fill up their day, and spent that same energy on the internet instead of doing whatever you do online, and you're focusing on elections and you're focusing on policy at the local, at the district, city, at the town, locality, whatever you want to call it, at those levels, and you put a lot of energy into that, I think you can check a lot of that stuff, because generally speaking, I don't think those numbers are going to be I just think if you put the energy around it, I don't think you have personally speaking, have a huge issue with voter fraud. If it didn't feel right, and again, I'm speaking in pure hypothetical, if you didn't feel right or things didn't look right, you know, you just challenge it or whatever you got to do. But I think if you made it your pure focus, then I don't think it'll be a huge problem. I think you can get some checks and balances in place, give some outside people involved, but it has to be an absolute focus. I mean, white folks, talking to white folks, have made it, I'm hearing them talking about everything has been hijacked, corporations have taken over the world, and you know, they're all up in arms all over this country, all over Europe as well, about, you know, the world coming to an end. They don't get what they wanted. They don't get the same access. They don't have the same amount, the same ability to build wealth. You have obviously globalization, companies coming together as conglomerates and controlling everything. So you know, just looking at their population, looking at what they're dealing with, you know, we know a lot's going on, but like I said, I think for us, if you could really focus on it, I don't know if you have an issue necessarily with that. I think, but it would have to be like I said, it would have to be definitely a heavy focus on tracking and monitoring. Because at the end of the day, to some degree, I mean, it depends on how you want to play the game. Doesn't matter who gets in office. We go, you know, you jam them and you make them push things through. And so I'm less concerned about the person who gets in there. I'm more concerned about how much power do I have over them while they're in there, and what can I push them to do or not do. Either way, that's all I mean at the end of the day. So, but I think the more you get involved in politics at those levels, I think the more control you could get. Again, hypothetically speaking, this is not a system of justice. This is a system of racism. Just want to be clear about that.
Gotcha. And speaking towards that, the political process, and this goes out to any of the victims, people that's classified as black folks, and to the classification of black that feels that they are forced to vote, follow your own code, you know, do what you deem is the most responsible act to do. If you feel like that is not participating in the voting process and you have thought it over, then that is your code. That should be respected. we basically follow the code, VGQ, so victims guaranteed qualification. You are a victim of racism. Your response is your response. You have your reasoning for doing it. You shouldn't feel any other way about it. If you feel like explaining it to other people, then do so. If you don't, then you don't have to do that either. But do not feel obligated to vote and not to have a particular reason why to vote. That's what I would tell anyone. And that's both for local and national. If you don't know who you're voting for, then why do it? So that's my thoughts on it. I really, you know, the whole, what gets me, let me expand a little bit. What gets me about Hillary Clinton and this whole thing about voting, and then we haven't even talked about Donald Trump, because this whole thing has just become just a show now. Just I mean, it's really theatrical for someone
he's
to
done
even.
Anyway.
Yeah. He, you know, just for this whole thing now, it makes it seem like they got together to rig this whole deal. Like, I really, it's really confusing me now, because at first, if this man just even acted like he had a little bit of sense, he has enough white people that believe in that foolishness that he's spewing that he can actually pull this thing off. But he is so vigilant, so vile, that he even turned down, he even has turned off some of the most absolute racists, people that are clearly racist, but they like, oh yeah, he didn't went too far with this. So
he wants the unrefined whites to finally come out and party.
I know.
They've been oppressed for 30 years, and it's time to do some killing. It's time to make some blacks suffer even more than we're already suffering. And that's why he's not going to stop. And this is just the beginning, by the way. It's been going on for about 10 years. And I think in the next 5 to 10 years, they're going to have the numbers, I think.
Yeah, so it's going to cause a fracture. It's going to polarize.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to polarize the voting block even more so than what it is now. So this whole thing about...
they're going to starve us out, man.
About America being great and all this type of thing. Things are about to change, people, and it's going to change very, very significantly. So, you know, that's why we're here to discuss racism in a more nuanced kind of view, to look at things from a different position. And the reason why we call ourselves Code Breakers, we have had plenty of discussions about, what's going on, what's behind the scenes, why people are doing things, what's the reasoning that white people are gathering up, what's the reason for white people to even support a man this vile. It's not that he's up there, it's the fact that he even had people that are even the fact that he's even close in this type of election is just it says a lot about racism, and I'm gonna tell you it's unbelievable.
Like, One thing that you say, though, is that whiteness has to mean something. And see, I think a lot of white folks feel like whiteness don't mean what it used to mean. And so they're seeing too much color. Ain't that much color out there, 1-2% that you're probably really seeing anywhere. We haven't made any gains, but perception is perception. You know, they're psychopathic anyway. And they want to do some killing. They want to claw back any little bit of that we've gotten and take that little bit from us as well and make us suffer. It's coming. It's been happening. It is going to get more aggressive over the next decade. If you follow all the Tea Party stuff, they're flipping congressmen left and right, all in the local areas. They're trying to change every rule, every law, all through this system. It's a real thing, and we're really going to feel it. We're going to feel it even more than we've felt it in a very, very long time. The people who aren't struggling as much right now. Many of us already struggle, so it ain't getting worse. It's as bad as it's gonna get. But some other ones of us will definitely start to feel a little bit more pain, unfortunately, because it's their system. We have to really recognize that, and we're trying to function in it.
If I could just chime in right quick,
yes, sir.
I know it's getting to the top of the hour, but to me, whiteness is defined by and weighed by blackness. And what I mean by that when white people look out and see people classified as black, what they have materially, especially, or what they don't have materially, that is a defining point for them. So, in other words, if you know a black guy moves into a or moves his black family to a white neighborhood, first thing they want to know, what does this guy do, or what does the fam, what does the wife do, if they're able to attain this? Because if he's able to attain it, or if they're able to attain it, then where does that put me? You know, materialism is essentially the key to it all. You know, I can amass all this material, and based on black people not having the same materials I have, or lower quality thereof, it puts me in a superior position in terms of my thought process.
Well,
do you think
Barack Obama is the beginning of the end? That's our peak. That's our limit.
You got to specify what you mean by beginning of the end. Like,
meaning that they quote unquote allowed us to participate.
Right.
We had a 20-30 year run. We got a insignificant amount of success. You put a black person in charge for 8 years. Everyone is considering that somehow the pinnacle, which really it's not. I would think a global banking system would be maybe pinnacle, possibly, but him being at the top, meaning that's it. What else do you want? Now exactly. It's our turn. Now we got to get things back to the way they're supposed to be.
No,
I don't know
exactly.
If that was the tipping point. Was that as much as you can max out within this environment, being around white folks, is that it? Meaning that now they're going to turn up more and get more aggressive, start to turn screw some laws. You know, they're trying to get rid of things like affirmative action. I think that most black folks that went to college, much of it was government funded, if not almost all of it, and was allowed to go to white colleges. So they allowed us to be a part of this. They allowed us to get wealth for the most part. In my opinion,
right.
That's how I look at it. And so they can claw that back. They can pull back on those things. They've been doing it anyway.
Absolutely.
But I feel like the president might be, when you look at the numbers, our numbers are horrible within the system as far as wealth, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe he's the end. You know, and they're gonna wash all these things away. And really squeeze even harder than they're already squeezed. Meaning that prison population is going to go up, less programs, less food programs, less educational programs, more school closures. They may come up with some whole new process and get rid of public school systems altogether. Who knows what they're going to do?
You know, it's called white supremacy in a vacuum. That's what it's called. And look and watch what'll happen.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to go to break. This is the Cold Breakers on Black Talk Radio.
You are listening to Cold Breakers on Black Talk Radio Network, new black media for the new millennium.
Sorry, kid. You may be as cold as a warlock's ball sack. It's like you was hanging a ball sack above you and dragged it right across your forearm. Hey, bro. Give you a little leverage.
Please don't.
Me? I ain't doing shit. Rick, why don't you take your axe? Cut your son's left arm off, right on that line. Yeah, I know. You're gonna have to process that for a second. That makes sense. Still, though, I'm gonna need you to do it.
where all these people are gonna die. Then Carl dies, then the people back home die, and then you, eventually. I'm gonna keep you breathing for a few years just so you can stew on it.
You don't have to do this. We understand. We understand.
You understand?
Yeah, he don't.
I'm not sure that Rick does. I want to need a clean cut right there on that line. Now, I know this is a screwed up thing to ask, but it's going to have to be like a salami slice. Nothing messy, clean, 45 degrees. Give us something to fold over. We got a great doctor. The kid will be fine. Probably. Rick. This needs to happen now. Chop, chop. Or I won't crush the little fella's skull myself.
It can be me. It could be me. You can do it to me. I can go with you.
No. This is the only way. Rick, pick up the axe. Not making a decision is a big decision. You really want to see all these people die? You will. You will see every ugly thing. Oh, my God. Are you going to make me count? Okay, Rick, you win. I am counting. Freeze!
Please, it can be me. Please!
Two!
Please, don't do it.
This is it. You answer to me. You provide for me. You belong to me. Right? Speak when you're spoken to! You answer to me. You provide for me.
Provide for you.
You belong to me. Right? Right. That is the look I wanted to see.
Wow.
Well, that's
a little aggressive.
I hope that people that are listening to the program got the gist of the audio. Thanks a lot, Mr. Reed, for that. I know that was last minute, but I thought it was very, very important to play that clip. And here are some of the things that we just discussed about politics, and we just talked about how victims of racism, people that survived slavery and brutality on the plantation, if you think that this light example of what Negan did to Rick and how it broke him, think about that. Broke him in less than, I want to say, in the course of what, 45
12
minutes?
Hours maybe?
This well, I'm just
like
12 saying,
hours.
Yeah, 12 hours, I guess, if you're going from the whole day.
Yeah.
Where?
Because they had to kidnap, they captured them, they killed two of their people, etc. Already, so.
Right. So for the people that follow The Walking Dead, what does this mean in the paradigm of where we're talking about the system of racism? How do we have victims that are so confused about racism and white people basically not confused about racism but can actually practice racism in plain sight, and we allow them to do it. Now, we look at the whole process of how Rick has basically went from basically being a leader of a whole group of people, basically doing things, was holding a whole lot of power, but then he got trumped by someone that was exuding more power than he did, and then he forced him to succumb to him in front of everybody else, which basically deemed his group under him now, which means that, what did he say to him? You answer to me. You provide for me.
You provide for me.
You belong to me. Think about that. In a system of racism, white supremacy, where this happened to the ones that we are under the classification of black, our relatives, even the ones that were so-called free, to be in a position of powerlessness because of violence enacted, terrorism enacted on us after that so-called emancipation of proclamation, right? After the 10 years of reconstruction that took place in the South, and to this day I still think that there was no more black representatives than it was at that particular time back in 1868. Think about that. To this particular period now, where we have generations of fear for the group that's classified as black, where we have been dominated by this group, and this begins at this particular point. If you think about all the rapes, all the murders, and see, you know, white people, they give it up every time. Anytime you watch these movies and you see their pathology just spills all over the place, indicating their racism. If you look at this program, it's all over the place. They can't help themselves. It's part of the pathology of what it means to be white. What do you need to do to dominate the whole planet? Because you're going to have groups of people that are not going to agree with this. What do you do with those people? There is no peaceful transition. See, people think that, oh, well, hey, you know, we got this thing that we decide, hey, we speak this language. We think it's better for you guys to do this. No, no, we good over here. We don't need that. No, I don't think you understand. You got new ways of doing things now. If you think that this doesn't happen on a regular basis right now, you have New Guinea, the Philippines, most recently Vietnam. These people have been rearranged, redirected, changed forever because of this group that's classified themselves as white. And they do this through extreme violence. If you fight them on it, they will kill you. They will make an example of you. That stuff that happened to our leaders that we celebrate, Malcolm, Martin, they're no longer here, right? Are they here? The uncompromising ones? Mega Evers? Fannie Lou Hamer? These people are not here no more. That's what I got from that particular clip. Very powerful clip. I got more to say on it, but that's just my beginning thoughts on it. You know, whoever want to jump in, what you got to say on that clip, if you got the full understanding, the full gist of it.
I want you to go the whole hour. You could have went the whole hour, man. You don't got to stop. T, did you have anything?
Yeah, that was some great writing, first of all.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, who writes this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, great.
White people write it.
Of course.
Yeah, two white men, I believe.
Right, Kirkman and I can't remember the guy's name. Robert Kirkman.
And did did you see the episode?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting how he the thing about that Negan uses a different methodology. And again, this is you could tie this into election. I'm not gonna go there, but tie it to election with Hillary and Donald. Both of them on the same kind of power trip, but they have a different way about doing things. Like Negan, he obviously is not only physically brutal, but psychologically brutal. You know, he plays with people and breaks you down mentally, and then add to that the physical aspect. I mean, that's very, very powerful. And so he has a different way of doing things. And basically, you know, I kind of asked myself, I said, why didn't he kill Rick? I mean, he killed Glenn, the Asian, right? So-called Asian. And he killed a guy who is a redhead who presumably he could be Irish or something. Which, you know, they were originally marginalized when they first immigrated to this country. So I said, why didn't he kill Rick? You know, and I said, well, maybe he didn't want to make him a martyr, you know, and make him more powerful in his death. But no, I don't think that's it. I think he's and it speaks to the psychology. I think he gets a power kick out of breaking him down. And at the end of the day, he's still a white man. And you even see what they did with Daryl. he said, no, this type of resistance that Daryl is showing, this is useful. And Daryl, you know, this guy was his brother, Merle, his older brother, he was a straight up skinhead, basically, straight up racist. You know, was calling T-Dog all kind of fierce, spear chucker and all type of stuff, you know. So he came from that type of family, but you see, they saved the people that they figured were useful. And I mean, if you look at like the name, this might be a little metaphysical, but if you look at like the name Lucille, which is the name of Negan's bat, it means light. That's the name. That's the meaning of that name, Lucille. So I guess he's like a Lucifer type character. He's the light bringer. And so he comes with a new way of doing things. And so he passed the torch to the new rulership. And they're going to be doing things his way. But at the same time, they're all going to uphold racism, white supremacy. And and the other thing too, interesting, the way he was talking to, because Michonne, you know, Rick and Michonne had a relationship. Well, they have relations, I guess you could say. I don't know his relationship, but
tragic relationship with the most beautiful sister on the program. Yeah, no doubt that that's a tragic arrangement. I declare that officially. Yeah, he should not be with Michonne, straight up.
Right.
No doubt.
But you notice how she spoke up for him, and she said, you know, we get it, you know, and Negan's response, I know you get it, right? Almost to say like, yeah, Negro, I know you get it, because you've been subject to it since time immemorial. But Rick doesn't get it. And so I thought that was interesting, the line too.
This is my two cents, and I'm gonna allow you to finish, and I just want to kind of jump in. But the reason he stated his reason for doing what he did is for labor purposes. So he want them to be at their most effective. He know that Rick, he identified Rick as their leader. So it would have been ineffective to kill their leader, even if he would have still been over them. They would not have been comfortable working along with them, and they probably, their mentality would have been just shattered where they just would have just been kind of like walking around and drawn. They wouldn't have been able to put the pieces back together if they didn't have Rick. But it was very, very important for him to break Rick in front of everyone, just like breaking the strongest slave on the plantation. Whoever's the strongest, bring them in front of me. I will break them in front of them, and then everything else takes place from there. I am the boss. Whatever I say goes, because I just basically broke the strongest of you. You see what I'm saying? So it all filters down from there. It's like this mentality that just spews itself. Even in the military, it's the same thing. Okay, which one of you the baddest? Soldier Story, when he took the leader, when Denzel Washington was the leader of the group, he said, hey, you bad, come on, let's get some of this. You know what I'm saying? So when he took Denzel and he, you know, Mr. Caesar, he had that boxing match with Denzel to kind of show, hey, I am the head HNIC. You know what I mean? To service this hierarchy through violence. You see what I'm saying? Where this kind of dominance has to be imprinted on people for everybody to act in a comfortable way, where you follow rules and regulations. So that's my two cents. I could be incorrect, though. I will say that.
That's a great assessment. And what's interesting to me is that even through, I mean, how many people has Rick gotten killed in his ineptitude and just lack of? And this guy was a sheriff originally, right? Or a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah, he's a sheriff. Reckless. He's real reckless, no doubt about
right.
it.
Right. Emotional. I mean, you know, just, you know, going back to the prison when his, you know, Lori's wife died, and he was hallucinating and making rash decisions, and these people still hung in there with him. And he still managed to be in charge. You know, and when you look at the comic book, and it parallels the show in a lot of ways, but a lot of ways it doesn't, for those that kind of follow or brush up on it or read it. But Rick was actually replaced by Tyrese, which they watered him down in the TV version and made him, you know, very kind of docile, made him to a John Henry type, folklore type character, carried a hammer, and you know, did a lot of physical labor. But they you know, Rick remains the leader. Unbelievable. But go ahead, Paradox. I know you got a lot.
Well, again, this is the Code Breakers on Black Talk Radio Network. Please go to blacktalkradio.com and download some of our programs. We do have a little bit of an archive sitting there. You can definitely call in if you have a comment at 641-715-3660. The code is 549032 pound *6-1. If you have a view on what we're discussing. Yeah, I mean, that was a lot. I mean, D, you pretty much said you was down the line of what I was thinking, just as far as watching a person be broken. I mean, it is a television show, so I mean, it was pretty gruesome, I think. They did show a lot within that 30 or 40 minute time frame, and I guess it gives you some kind of inclination on what's required possibly to break a person. Break them down and to get them to think you're away. What I found, what I always find interesting is how the human brain or how the human mind functions and how it can deal with both realities. How possibly, and this is in ignorance, the statements I'm going to make, I'm not totally clear, but just how you're able to still function, you know, you're able to be broken. And if you consider the person a leader, if we want to look at it that way, and you watch them be broken, that somehow in your mind, in the way you feel, you fall in line. you know, I always find it strange that you want to live. Some people do, and others, or, you know, just how we all respond a little differently from each other. And how when you're born, that's how you become. It's like almost pre-coded within the womb that you're going to be, it could be based obviously off your parents, etc., but you're going to either be a person that's going to push, a person that can't be confined, a person that'll fall in line and follow the rules as long as, you know, as long as they're not feeling any physical pain or mental pain. So I found it more at that point because, you know, to be able to control massive numbers of people, I think you have to have some level of intelligence and obviously brutality. And it seems that if you're able to break people, they will produce to a degree broken people. Apparently, when you have a child, they still have to be, obviously, as they grow up, still have to be corrected. I just wonder about what gets go ahead.
I got so much to say. I'm sorry.
But I know. I know you good.
These are the things that you start to hear. Pull up your pants. Get an education. These are the things that are beat into us. This is basically us being transitioned from doing things these people's way. Now remember, we are people that, whether you was here already, that had a culture, had a way of living without white people, right? Not suits, not ties. That's new. That all that shit. That I'm about to go off. I need to calm down. I need to codify myself.
This is a PG program. Let the keep G rated, please.
Yes. Thanks. Yes. Absolutely. Let me tune into the ancestor of Dr. Welsing. I'm upset because what they have done to us, they have rearranged our brains. We now think it's normal to do these things. This is abnormal. This is not what we did for thousands upon thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we act
like it's savage, this
brand new, unjust. You can't even know what's right, what's wrong. You don't know what a woman's place is. You don't know what a man's place is. Everybody's confused about things. Everybody don't have no kind of regulation because somebody came up and said, we're going to do things this way now. And you don't have to like it. You don't have to do anything. And if I kill enough of y'all, you're going to succumb to my will. And you're going to teach your children's children this foolishness for the rest of your life. So when you hear people when you hear victims say things like, well, you need to do this to get ahead. Now, they know racism exists. They know that there's an unbalanced structure. And they're not even talking about fighting. They're talking about what you need to do to make white people comfortable. I hear it and see it all the time. How many people that's listening right now that work at jobs and they're at companies or they're at locations where they say, well, you know these people are coming in today, so you know you got to clean up your desk, you got to do something to your cube, you got to do this. You know these white important people are coming to see y'all today. It's almost like we are automatically wired. You know, I wanted to save this for racism. Workplace racism, because I haven't participated as of yet, but you know, on our program I might as well share. And Paradox can attribute to this. I was initially targeted, just told automatically I was going to be around some important white people, right? In the place of my employment. And I was told by another victim of racism that is in management, Please do not ask any questions. I mean, I'm saying, and I know that no white person talked to this person, but just the fact that the fear of I can't even think of the word of punishment. Yeah, the punishment. That's, right, that's going to come on this person. I am telling you the straight truth. Was talked to 2 to 3 times. Please, do not say anything. Now, I know that nobody talked to them, but I'm saying it is wired in us. This conditioning that we have is wired into us. So when you hear people say, you should vote, you should do this, you should do that, and this is a white system that's built off injustice. We built this country. That is facts. That is a fact. If you go to the museum that is in our location, the African American Museum, this big old testament of showing all the mistreatment that they have done to us, and they put it into this nice little spellbound, now we're all American. That is nonsense. That is nonsense. When they try to basically create this illusion that there's some kind of balance going on, like this something that's going back and forth between people that's classified as white and the people that's classified as black. The things that they have done to the Native American population here, which is mixed in with the people that they classified as black, and the Africans that they brought over here, is no forgiveness. There's nothing that you can do outside of just give up the keys and just leave, and leave it to the people that you have mistreated the most to settle it. There is nothing else you can do. You don't deserve this. This is something that you don't deserve because it was done off murder, mistreatment, rape, abuse. I'm sorry, y'all. I just, when I think about that whole clip, people was crying over this.
Yep.
People was crying over this, and we have seen Eric Garner choked out on TV. Nope. I mean, this is what I'm saying, like victims. My man in Baton Rouge getting shot by police. This is not nothing that's no TV show. This is real. They terrorize us. They terrorize us on a daily basis. Black males and black females getting killed. Corrin Gaines recently. Like this is stuff that this. I don't. Victims, man. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, they have normalized us to the point where we do not think we are important enough to feel the same way when you see this white man that didn't even cut off his child's hand. And we know about people getting maimed, people getting their feet cut off, people getting their balls, getting their nuts chopped off in front of these people, in front of white kids and white people and the actual slaves that actually see this happening to each other, people being raped in front of their children. Come on, man. And you're going to have children by the master, and they're going to be slaves too? Like, how sadistic is that? And you're going to like it. You're going to work for me. That's the system that we're in. That's the system that we was raised under. That's the system that your grandparents or your great-grandparents don't want to tell you about. That's what it was. And if you was free around that time, you was terrorized. If you was a black freedom person, you was still terrorized. You wasn't living good. You always was under fear. And for us to say that those people that came before us was cowards, and the ones that did end up that they couldn't deal with it no more and they fought and they died, we have to understand what took place and respect the process. And that being that we are here, we have to be able to use our brains to try to break code. This system is due to participation, is a mental break. This is something that is used to manipulate victims of racism, white supremacy, mind control. So you know what, that Lucille comment that you just made, T, I guarantee that white people already know about that. They study grains of sand, like Mr. Fuller says. Of course they know by names, whose name, why this person's name is shown, why they basically did the character of Tyrese. They couldn't show Tyrese in a strong manner like that. He's written strong in a comic book, right or wrong, right? He's written as a strong character, like basically he's on the level of Rick. It's no way that they can show that on TV. Not the same kind of level. These white people know exactly what they're doing. Exactly what they're doing. It is purposeful. Man, I'm done.
Absolutely. They definitely study everything, and you know, from somebody, you know, I studied film and for a time, and you know, it's a lot, you know, to DC's comment, it's a lot that goes into it in terms of research. I mean, you have a whole research department that look into, especially if it's a timepiece, you know, attire, way people spoke, customs, mannerisms. And so, you know, when and you know, it's interesting how they tell you, you know, when you go and you name your characters, because it's all about character development, you find names that suit them, but you also can leave, and a lot of times writers do leave, little grains of sand, so to speak, that are like breadcrumbs, that for those who are in the know, or like the people who are not profane, as they would say, can pick up on it, because you know, you always want to leave your indelible mark on your project and have some type of almost like your signature on something, without it being obviously your signature, but someone can look at it, you know, whether it's a camera angle, you know, like, you know, Spike Lee, for example, uses certain camera angles in his work, and one of his famous ones is you know, it looks like how best can I describe it, but it looks like someone's moving through space. A very very prominent angle and shot that Spike uses. And so this is true. You have a lot of these producers who drop these nuggets, and that show, I think, even if not for, you know, whether or not you find it entertaining or grossly irrelevant, I think it's an instruction manual and a revealing to everyone, including victims of racism, white supremacy, of how this thing operates. And I think it's important that people watch it, if not for the education. This is an open book on how you deal with non-white people and anyone else in these type of situations, which we could at some point, I fear, in this country come to, considering all the divisiveness that's escalating, and all the racism and the bigotry, and you know, the anti-religious sentiment. It's coming to a tipping point that Paradox referred to. So I think we should heed the warning and learn as much as we can.
Good. So Mr. Reed, I know you've been waiting to share. I know we have said a lot, so we'd love to hear your thoughts on what's been shared so far, sir.
Well, on that particular clip, I think all three of you's analysis was spot on. I mean, there are so many different ways you could look at this. You could look at it as Rick being the black male, and what was the guy's name that was terrorizing him? Negan,
which is, I think, is a very purposeful name also.
Right.
Negan. Yeah.
Right. The N-word. Okay. Yeah. So I could look at Negan as being your typical racist white male, and Rick being the victim in that case, being the black male. Also, I could look at it as Negan being the corporation known as United States of America, and how it deals with non-white people all over the planet, whether we're talking about a nation or whether we're talking about it in the context of how you talked about how they came here and established the United States of America. So I think all of that was spot on. But I do definitely see how they Libya was mentioned earlier, so they basically cut the head off of Libya to make them do what they wanted to do and what have you. So I mean, definitely you guys were spot on with that. It's a pretty deep clip.
Paradox, you have anything?
I mean, you said quite a bit, so
I apologize for my emotion. I apologize to the audience also. And Mr. Reed, if any of the callers would like to share anything, please feel free to share. If you guys are still on and want to kind of make a comment about what you just heard, then please, if I was speaking out of turn, please let me know.
Yeah, you no, you're fine, man. It is what it is, man. I think that, and I'm gonna probably it's gonna be interesting to see how things turn out. And it might be something to watch. But as Gus T. Renegade says on the cows, the context of white supremacy, reading is more important than watching television. Reading is more important than watching television. You know, definitely do research outside of watching TV. But I think it is a good visual illustration of how, to some degree, of how you can break people down. It possibly even will open your mind up, I think, a little bit, possibly, just to kind of see the type of brutality that's required. And again, like I said, I go back to the unfortunate part is that once the brutality happens, the human apparently is able to adapt and adjust and produce offspring that will have to be broken, of course, but will comply, and things continue, and things become like you were saying before, DC, normalized to where you're not feeling it anymore. Things are feeling more normal. You know what you can and cannot do. I think right now I would assume you have more black freemen or free women than you've had, I guess, ever in this country. I'm assuming we will all be considered to some degree, I guess, free, relatively speaking, I guess, but strangely still in bondage, which is very confusing. But us having the ability to move around the world more, some of us who can afford that. But even being able to move around from neighborhood to neighborhood or from state to state says a lot. Accepting the language that we speak says a lot. And if you do anything different, how black people specifically will correct your behavior.
Absolutely.
You have something about, that's one of the key things that you're going to see is...
It's a million, 10 million right. Chicken Georgias walking around.
Right. So, I mean...
Name calling.
Yeah. A little uncodified. But I think that's what makes it difficult. Is because you're going to see people who look like you or who... who may even have some of your views. But, ultimately still... feel that pull to behave a certain way, to act a certain way, and not to be under stress. I mean, I think that an individual person is very difficult. I think as an individual, as a collective group, you have some support, but I think as an individual, things can be very difficult in this environment, especially as you become more aware. It's easier to be asleep and to participate and pretend that your mistreatment isn't happening to you. It's easy to speak to people who look like you, and you both agree that you're not being mistreated. You both agree that everything is normal. You both agree that those other folks are crazy over there. You know, those things bring a sense of comfort, and it continues to push, and you are and they produce offspring and infuse that knowledge into them. And we all, I think, have struggles with that, including myself, all of the time. I'm constantly feeling the push and the pull, and it can be stressful. Clarity for me helps reduce that stress. Getting a better understanding of white supremacy, getting a better understanding of white people, they are the problem. You know, studying them and trying to get an understanding of how they function will bring some clarity. It also will help you maneuver better within the system. And as Dr. Welsing said, we're trying to play chess here. And so the thing is that, you know, you have to learn to have patience, before you make a move to really monitor the situation, and make smart strategic moves, because they do run the planet. They have a military to back that up. They have a complex governmental system to back that up. They have many, many layers of power, so we have to be as smart as we can be in the circumstances that we're in. Paradox. We do have a caller.
Yes, paradox. Two, just quick to your point, because I forgot to share this, but that reminded me of my experience in the military. And when you mentioned the military, it triggered it. And the first thought that came to my mind was, based off of my observations when I spent 6 years in the United States Army, that we were overrepresented in their military. So their military is us. Their military is full of victims. And they use some of the same tactics Nagin used, you know, threats of punishment. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't toe the line, if you don't do exactly as you're told. And they actually banned me from reenlistment because the situation came up where I had to make a choice, either my military career or my family, which were my children, because I was having marital problems. And my ex-wife was suffering from postpartum depression, and she was in no shape to care for two children. I had one that was 13 months, and the other one was a newborn, and I still had 2 months on my contract. And then there was a black man who was my first sergeant, and they were just trying to make me take my children back to North Carolina and dump them off on my mother, and said, well, if you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And I was like, do what you got to do. Okay, I only got 2 months. You either let me out early or what? What you going to do? I'm telling you, I'm taking my children. I'm getting out so I can care for my children. And they barred me from reenlistment because I would not cave under the pressure that they were trying to put on me, and I put my children first. So that's kind of similar, but not so similar. But you are right. We do have a caller.
Okay, all right, that person, the 702.
They hung up.
Okay. Well, we hopefully they call back in. I know I went on a little bit of a rant, so but that's fine. Hopefully they can call back in. That's fine. They'll be okay. But
T, did you have anything that you wanted to share?
Yeah, you know, as you were speaking, Paradox, I was drawing a correlation between the walkers and those who are, I guess you say, alive. They're not zombified. And to your point about those who have accepted their position or either are not fully aware of it and everything in the landscape looks to be okay, if you could juxtapose that with the walkers, right? You know, we found out that you could essentially put on a camouflage consisting of the zombies, remains, what have you, intestines. Or you could walk among them and have no issue, essentially. You would still have to deal with the BS in terms of the smell and the unsightly zombies around you. Not too different than if you accept your position and you do not lift yourself out of the everyday way of thinking, you know, if you are someone who lifts yourself out of that position, then you put yourself among a class of other people who also may be operating on a, I guess you could say, a higher level, so to speak, in terms of intelligence, even though it might have a barbaric undertone. But that's what you're looking at. I mean, when you're among your family or your friends and you try to elevate yourself, you're attacked. And so just like in relation to the TV show, those who elevated themselves, they're attacked not only by the zombies, but also by other people who are either just as intelligent or more intelligent than they are, a la the so-called conscious community, right? You got a lot of intellectuals attacking each other based upon different ways of doing and thinking. So I was drawing that correlation, and I think it's something that could probably be further examined. But just the simple fact that anytime you lift yourself out of the muck and mire, then you are subjected to attacks, not only from the people or the group that you lifted yourself out of mentally or spiritually, but also those who have done the same and have corrupted that into something completely different.
Well, that's a good observation. Good observation.
If anybody want to be chit chat with us during the next couple of weeks as they download this program, you can obviously hit us up on Twitter at CodeBreakers191. We probably check that probably more than anything. If you have any comments or you want to get in contact with us, you can definitely hit us up on CodeBreakers191 on Twitter. You had anything, DC?
Well, just to kind of give my final comments about a little bit about what we talked about earlier, about voting and about doing things in this system.
Are we live on vote night?
Ooh, I think we may be. I think, well, that would be not next week, but the week after. I think
yes.
We are on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes, you will.
We
be.
Are. Oh, that will be interesting. That's something that we need to queue on up because, there will be a change. In speaking upon that, go ahead. What were you about to say?
No, I was just gonna say there will be a new president by the time the show ends, probably.
And it will not be the Obama legacy. Trust me, that will be something that will not be, you know.
She's going to dismantle it, I think.
Yeah, she's going to, and see this.
And it's
going to
be
thing.
Insidious too.
She's a racist, man. Like bottom line, like you said earlier. And like T already basically clearly pointed out, these people know each other, man.
Yep.
Like there's no confusion here. Like for us to even just act like and it's us. It's us. Like I wish that we can have more nuanced discussions when it comes down to racism, but we have to come to a point where we have to start to be honest. And the honesty is one of the hardest things for us to do. And when I say us, I mean the group that's forced into the classification of black. People that's primarily descendants within the diaspora of slaves. And that includes biracial folks, mixed people, whatever you want to call them. People that are not white. And what ends up happening is we get into these discussions, we get in like T alluded to, the conscious community. So we get into this jostling, well, I got more information about Egypt than you. Like Egypt is what we were before what this is now. And that's why it's kind of like what we're talking about now is an accumulation.
Hey, don't be talking about Kemet. Don't be talking about Kemet.
All right, I'll save that for another program. We'll get into the deep dive about what the history was back then at that particular time. Like, Africa is just this monolith of just one group of people that we now call black, which is a forced classification, people. Please. These people that are in different tribes don't really hold power anymore. But these people did not look at each other as the same. They did not. The 500 nations that was here didn't look at themselves as just Native Americans. That's new. That's a new term. That's a white creation to dominate people. Bottom line, Asians, calling people Asians. Just the fact that you could call that whole land, oh, yeah, you're Asians. You're the Middle East. You know, I mean,
Geneva Convention.
Are we still on topic?
Study white people. Study white people. Study white people. Stop blaming victims. Anyway, So back to the politics. I wanted to just reiterate, VGQ, do what you feel comfortable with doing and make a sound decision. Since we're going to be on during the voting night, I still haven't decided on if I am going to vote, but I can tell you this, I'm not voting for any of these two people. That's not happening. I'm not voting for Donald Fool Trump, and I'm not voting for Hillary Racist Clinton. Ain't her middle name Rodham? Yeah, so that works. Rodman. Yeah, that works. Rodman. That works. Yeah, she's a racist. She's a racist. White supremacist. Bona fide. She's been exposed. So yeah, that's my closing thoughts. Respect the code, and I apologize. I did get out of character today. Hopefully I'm a victim. I would do better next time. This is D.
No problem.
You have anything, T?
No apology needed, man. You know, it's all as long as your passion and energy is directed in a constructive manner, which is what I got from it, you're good. I agree, VGQ, victims guarantee qualification, do what you feel is best. It'll be interesting, the historic night next show.
Yeah, I don't know if we're even going to talk about the election. I know it's going to be on. We may have some other topics to discuss, obviously, but it may come up. I'm guessing if y'all want to have that discussion, we may have some other things to discuss as well. Of course,
Paradox.
Yes, sir.
What if Donald J. Trump is the next CEO of USA Inc. on Tuesday night when y'all do y'all program? Well, how can you ignore that?
there won't be no ignoring that. And in fact, that would help alleviate plenty of confusion. Trust
me. Well, I'll say this. Donald J. Trump, standard operating procedure. It would be what it is. So, I mean, it's a lot of excitement around that name, but the way this government is structured, from my understanding, I don't know. It'll be what it is. So, but yeah, if we see someone get actually elected while we're live, then you know, obviously we will definitely bring it up. I'm not super excited about the situation either way, so. It's more of a day of, they should consider it a day of mourning for victims of racism, to be honest with you, but you know, we shall see how things play out in a couple of weeks. I will be putting my vote in, I think, Thursday. What's that, two days from now?
Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Early voting.
I will be early. Yeah. Yeah, I will put my vote in. I mean, I'm going to try. You know, I might not do anything, but
it's a strange situation, but you got to do what you got to do. So that's most likely what I'm going to be doing Thursday. So.
So everyone, thank you for joining us. This has been the Cold Breakers. Hopefully we have, you know, gave you something to chew on until next time, when we jump on, you know, hopefully to discuss a little bit more in detail about some of the code and some of the racism practices that's happening out there. So do you guys have anything else before we get up out of here?
No, that's it. Study.
All right. Well, Mr. Reed, we can probably close it on down. So, you know, this has been the Code Breakers. I'm D.
Paradox.
And T.
Until next time, peace.